Hey, everybody, it's Ryan Ripley. Wanted to get a new offering in front of you as soon as possible, evidence-based leadership. And so, as you all know, Todd Miller, myself, and Will Seeley, we're big on evidence-based management. We want to apply it to the leadership space. We all know that modern managers face complex challenges every day. You're juggling a lot of needs, your direct reports, your stakeholders, your customers, they all need constant attention. What we want to do is help you manage that. We want you to use information and data to make good decisions around all of these areas so that we're delivering the right thing at the right time for the right customer. And we know that we're doing that because we're using data and evidence to validate all the things that we're doing. And not only that, we're not just looking at value, but we're looking at our capabilities as an organization. Can we deliver on time? Can we innovate effectively? Do we have too much tech debt? Do we have too many things in process? Are we unable to deliver when the market demands that we do? We look at all of these things with evidence-based management. We merge that into a leadership mindset and lens, and we enable you to make new and better decisions repeatedly based off of the data that you're collecting within your organization. It's exciting stuff. We hope you can join us. Visit agileforhumans.com/EBL course. Join us in one of these offerings. We think you're going to love it. Hope you can join us. Use Agile for Humans, the number 4, to take another 15% off of this course. And we can't wait to see you there.
Todd, well, we are back.
We are back. And we're getting towards the end of the series, Will.
What a long and strange trip it's been.
Good quote from some Grateful Dead there. Today we are talking about changing goals. You know, in the last video, we talked about changing measurements and changing goals. I would say similar, but different when we look at this. It's a very different perspective when you're talking about changing measurements than you're talking about changing goals. What do you think?
Absolutely. You might find that a measure is actually not a great measure to reach that goal, or you may find from a measure that one of your goals just isn't worth pursuing anymore compared to other things you could be doing. Right? They are related, but very different things.
They really are. And I'm pretty excited to dig in, so I'm just going to move us straight to screen sharing if you're good with that.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So adding it, here we go. And changing goals, you know, well, I put some stuff on here. I put, just for a reminder, the different three different levels of goals that we have in EBM: immediate, tactical, intermediate, and strategic. If you need a refresher on them, we have individual videos for each one of those. And we're going to make the assumption that you have watched those videos or you've read the EBM guide before getting in here. But we would just jump in and say, when do we know to change goals, Will? How do we know?
It's an interesting question to start with, because, well, the answer is different depending on the type of goal that you're talking about.
Mm-hmm. Like where you're going.
Yeah. So with an immediate tactical goal, because it is so in the short term, mm-hmm. right, you're going to find out very quickly and very early on whether it's feasible or not. And so the type of change that you tend to see with an immediate tactical goal is very binary.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Are we going to pursue this, or is it a completely wrong direction for us, and do we need to design a different immediate tactical goal that's related to something else?
Hmm. Yeah, I think by way of that, when I think of immediate tactical goals, I think that these are easier to change. And I say that because we're not exactly married to them. No. Right? So our hearts aren't in them. They're experiments. They're quick moving. They're very short term. And so it's easier, I think, at least from what I've seen and from what I've felt and what I've done myself, it's easier to change an immediate tactical goal because it's the here, it's the now, it's a very recent hypothesis. We're not completely married to it. And so we find out that it's going to give us a step in the direction, or it's not, or it's feasible or it's not. And we either move on to the next one, or we continue down the path of getting this because it's a step towards our intermediate goal, right?
Well, I'm going to challenge you a little bit on that, Todd, because one of the things that we see in teams that use Scrum, for example, right? The immediate tactical goal and the sprint goal can be the same thing, right? A sprint goal could be an example of an immediate tactical goal, but given in your history as a product owner, do you remember those times in sprints when you found out the sprint goal was no longer achievable or relevant and you had to cancel the sprint?
Yeah. So it's interesting because it's either canceling the sprint or determining what to do next right on the fly. And to be honest with you, I love that because that was a signal to me that we could change and perhaps get more money on the dollar for something else. Right. And so that is just the short-term sprint planning aspect of it. So we planned, yeah, it's could be a little bit disappointing or a little bit of an aha moment. But when I start to think about an intermediate goal, I'm in love with that, right? Like that's something very powerful that I've thought about a lot. That I'm really passionate about. And if the immediate tactical goal that we're working on right now isn't really going to get me closer to that, I want to know right away. I want to change direction. I'm happy about knowing right away sometimes, right? And let's move forward, right? I'm not exactly in love. I'm in love with the intermediate goal, Will.
Yeah, and I think you're touching on a really good thing there, is that if you have a good intermediate goal and your immediate tactical goal is a step in that direction, then changing that step isn't that hard. Whereas if your intermediate goal is absent or poorly defined, and the immediate tactical goal is all you have in terms of direction,
yeah,
right, then it's going to be really hard to go.
Yeah, you know, that's interesting. And we should pull on that a little bit, because we see this a lot with Scrum teams, right? That aren't using a longer term objective, like a product goal yet. That's fairly new concept in Scrum, right? So you could potentially interrelate an intermediate goal with a good product goal. And so every immediate tactical goal should be a step towards the intermediate goal. If that intermediate goal is soft and or maybe related to something that it shouldn't be, let's say, performance, right? Then your immediate tactical goal becomes everything, rather than being a springboard towards your intermediate goal, right? Your immediate tactical goal becomes like the thing that if we don't accomplish this, the whole world ends. And that's not a good feeling.
Yeah. And indeed, like you were saying, with an intermediate goal, if it is well defined, right, you're invested in it, you probably have made actual investments in progressing towards it in terms of time and money and effort. And to then find out that, hey, this, we made some assumptions, they turn out to be not relevant anymore, or maybe not valid. Mm-hmm. That's harder.
Yeah. And that's where as a product owner, I've had that happen before, where an immediate tactical goal proved that our intermediate goal wasn't relevant. And it's like heartbreak, but you still have to move on.
Exactly. And what softens the blow a little bit there is that where an immediate tactical goal is very binary, right? Once you get to the intermediate and the strategic type goals, changing a goal there doesn't necessarily mean we completely let go of our earlier goal and we set a completely different direction for the product or the team or myself or this organization, because that would just be, you'd be flailing about wildly as an organization. Right? It might happen, but it should be an exception. What changing goals at that those levels looks like is much more fine-tuning and tweaking. Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah.
You may be specifying your market a little bit more, or you might be targeting a different segment of customers, or you might be expanding to a different country. But it doesn't mean you're not expanding at all anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, this is interesting. It's interesting how we've started down this path of really kind of behaviors when it comes to, right? I feel like we're always starting here to some extent, right? I'm talking from an emotional perspective as a product owner, previous product owner, and how this all relates. So this idea behind changing goals, we've really hit on immediate tactical goals quite a bit, right? We've talked about how with an immediate tactical goal, this is right in front of our face, right? Changing these are goals that are born frequently, right? This is stuff that happens very regularly. The creation of these and the accomplishment of these is something that happens. Intermediate is a little bit longer term. So how do we know? So with immediate tactical, I'm going to say immediate tactical. We'll always question, is it a step towards the intermediate? Right? Is it a step towards the intermediate? I think that's a good question to ask. But the caveat is that intermediate goal needs to be a good goal, right? Organizations are struggling here. So what about an intermediate goal? So we have all these little tiny steps. Was it a step towards the intermediate goal? We have to validate that. We have the KVAs to help give us an inkling around that. But intermediate goals.
Yeah, so there's a second question, right? Following either your ability or inability to deliver on that immediate tactical goal is, what has this taught us about the intermediate goal?
Mm-hmm. I like that.
Right. And those two questions kind of repeat themselves for the intermediate goal in relationship to the strategic goal. Mm-hmm. Right. Upon achieving or failing to achieve or changing the intermediate goal, right? Are we still en route to the strategic goal? Or is there new information that would require us to change things about the strategic goal?
Yeah. Yeah. And, you know, Will, people say, well, how often do we look at this? I'm of the belief of an immediate tactical goal, once that goal expires, and by expiring, it means you accomplished it or you didn't, you ask these questions, yeah. Right? You ask them frequently. As far as a time frame, I really like to say 1 month or less, right? Like, I know that we're borrowing from Scrum there, but is this immediate tactical goal a step towards the intermediate goal? What has this taught us about the intermediate goal? And maybe I'm going to put, what has this taught us about the strategic goal?
Yeah. Right. And it's interesting that you say a month or less, because I think to add a dimension to that is, what is the scale that we're talking about here? Right? Are we talking about a product being delivered by one or two teams? Then I'd say, well, do it weekly.
Yeah.
Eventually, yeah. Right? Inspect those things very often. Like, put the torch to your strategy and say, like, and, you know, really, really challenge things. If we're talking the whole organization,
like a portfolio, right,
each goal for 10,000 people heading in a certain direction with an entire portfolio behind it, maybe not every week, mm-hmm. Certainly not less than once a month.
Yeah, I think we might be arriving on a good border here. I think a month makes sense. Less than a month or less. And yeah. I think, to your point, it really depends on the context that you're looking at it, right? For some reason, a month just seems like such a long time. I've worked in 1 month sprints before, and it really honestly feels like you're disappearing forever, right? But to your point, in a product, and with the way the product world works right now and how fast delivery can be, if it's a single product and you're using evidence-based management there, why not once a week? Why not, even if your sprint cadence, if you're using Scrum or something else, right? Even if it's longer than that, why not question this? In fact, if I'm a product owner or if I'm a product manager in an organization, I am like staring at this all the time. I'm sitting and I'm pondering it on my thinking couch, Will, trying to think about what's next or what hypotheses can I form that are going to give me another step towards the intermediate goal, or How do I get another? What's the next intermediate goal after we accomplish this one? Like, where are we going? I'm always trying to think this. I'm looking at all kinds of different angles to get us there. Right. Yeah.
So behaviorally, right, this puts us in a pretty tough spot, because we want to create goals that are inspiring, that people are ready to commit to, but at the same time, we want to have the flexibility to change those goals or even discard those goals at a moment's notice. Mm-hmm. Right. That is, from a behavioral aspect, that is hard to do, to maintain excitement and commitment and inspiration for something that is ready to change.
Mm-hmm. It really is. Yeah, that kind of goes back to my point where I was talking about earlier, where that intermediate goal, if you suddenly validate that intermediate goal, or let's say invalidate it, That's that intermediate goal is to me is where strategic could very well potentially be altruistic, right? That could be the path where we're aiming, but intermediate is this little longer term. I think we talked in our last video, 3 to 6 months. I'm pretty in love with that, right? And the teams are behind it. The teams are working really diligently. If you're really good in product management, your teams are inspired by this. It's really customer driven. And then suddenly you find out that it is either not accomplishable or not relevant anymore. There can be some heartbreak in there, right? You just spent all this time, the people working on it have really put a lot into it, and now it's not relevant anymore. And this is where we come back to sunk cost fallacy, yeah. Right? So stop. You have to have a little bit of a binary look at this and say, okay, yes, we did, but we need to stop spending money on this now. Yes, we put all of this effort into it, but it is the juice is no longer worth the squeeze, right? We need to move on. And that can be really hard, Will. It can be really hard.
Yeah, and transparency really is your friend here, right? Because if you change the goals, but you're not sharing the story of why those changes are there and what led to them, it's going to be hugely demotivating. And people won't care anymore, right? Because I don't want to care about things that I can lose, right, very quickly. But if you take people along in that story of, hey, here's what we did and here's what we learned, and that's why this goal is no longer the best way to realize this vision that we all share, and we should be doing this instead, that keeps people engaged. Right, eat better if you make them a part of it.
Yeah, and that's why, Will, I really like the way that you put this here. Here's what we did and what we learned, right? Because one of the things that really strikes me, that really kind of, it's like a tick, it makes me, kind of drives me crazy, is when I hear this, well, fail fast. You're not failing anything. We're learning, right? Failure has a negative connotation to me. Right. And if you find out that your intermediate goal is not possible, or same thing with any one of these goals, you learned something. So let's be professionals about it, and let's inspect what to do and let's adapt. But the way that you stated here, transparency is your friend, because you can inspect and adapt. But if you hold all of that information in, that's so demotivating for the people doing the work. It may be demotivating for the people giving you funding for this. Right. We need to talk about the why behind it, talk about what we learned. I feel like we're talking a little bit cynical here, because this could also be true about accomplishing an intermediate goal or an immediate tactical goal. I've had that same feeling. It's done. Now what? Another one? You know, we just put so much passion into this and now we're done with it and it's time to have a new one. Right. You've had that same feeling. I see you smiling. It's been that same thing.
Oh yeah, the hollowness of victory.
It really is. Us humans are pretty interesting creatures. You know, we work so hard to something, and then you accomplish it, and then it's just like, now what?
Yeah. You know? Yeah. So maybe also just to put this into perspective again, let's talk a little bit about some of the times we've had to change goals.
Yeah, let's do it. Yeah. What? Why don't you start, Will?
All right. So, with ProZillions, right? I talked about my ideal of putting agile coaches largely out of business, right? By focusing more and more on organizational design issues, and At the start, one thing that I was developing was a kind of a framework, but for org design. And the idea there is that I would touch on some topics like performance management, like incentive structures, like layout and governance issues, just to give kind of a broad overview of, here are some of the design principles that you want to look at, right? Not going into heavy methodology like a certain alleged framework that we're not naming here, but more set of good principles. And this was because this was a model that I had used in the past when actually asked to audit organizations, right? I was often brought in to offer a second opinion to the quality of an agile transformation or an agile business unit. But what I found, right, and this was my intermediate goal, was to get a version of that thing out and into the hands of people for review. But what I noticed, having done a few of these checks as immediate tactical goals, right, and I had as an immediate tactical goal, check the quality of the transformation after the report was delivered, right? This was something that I at one point did in a 2-week span. I contacted an old client that I had audited a year before and said, can I come around and have a little bit of a chat on what happened after you got the report and the advice and I left? And I did that check, and I actually found out, hey, nothing really changed. Right? They had all the information, they had all the model, but nothing really changed. And so what I found was, there was so much there in terms of here's stuff that you need to look at and here's stuff that you need to take into account, that it literally blew their minds. It couldn't get in. And that led me to the path that I'm on now, which is much more in the direction of small nudges and continuous change. But that also meant letting go of that intermediate goal, right? And actually that whole idea of create a reference framework and set of principles for org design, because it was just unusable, I found out. So I let go of that intermediate goal completely, and I changed it into create something that would allow for just super easy, low level adoption of nudges, of creating easier organizations to work in.
Yeah, I'm going to write down here, Will, just for the reference, a pivot on intermediate goals.
Yeah.
From org design nudges. Is that good enough?
And that hurt, because at that point I had put a year of effort into the org design thing. I'd been making money on the org design thing, right? It wasn't bad business. It just wasn't going to get me to my strategic goal.
Interesting. Yeah, and I could see by just like your face, it was like that was like a moment where it was hard to let go a little bit.
Because it also cost me money, because it was a lucrative business
and time.
But I had to just go like, no, this isn't going to help me to where I want to go, and I'm not doing this to make money. I'm doing this. I'm making money in the pursuit of what I'm actually trying to do here, which is just create better environments for people to work in.
Interesting. So I guess I'll share Agile for Humans. I see we're running a little bit long here, so I'll make sure that I do it quickly. One of the things that we were trying to do around an intermediate goal is to enable further community collaboration. And we have a bunch of different hypotheses on this, right? One of them being to create community.agileforhumans.com, leveraging Mighty Networks and creating some content in there. What we had is, at first we had a free area, and then we had a paid area where we thought we'd spend a lot of time and attention. And we noticed that there people were joining, but not a lot of people were collaborating. And so we put a lot of time and effort into creating this paid area. And then we're just like, let's just make it free. Right. That kind of hurt because of how much time and effort and money we put into that. But then by way of making it free, we've seen this massive increase in collaboration. And so based off of that, well, that's part of the reason why we're doing what we're doing here, right? Now we've decided that we are going to fully open or fully adopt the open source model, right? Let's create free content. let's give free playlists around EBM and Scrum 101. There's more coming for a lot of these things. And let's, as far as our overall strategic goal of uncovering better ways of working together, which, yes, is super altruistic, what a better way to do that than build this kind of stuff, right? Yeah. And so I think that is showing how we had an intermediate goal about creating more collaboration within the community. We had an immediate tactical goal that was building a specific thing. What we found out by measuring that maybe our approach that we're taking towards our intermediate goal was incorrect, right? Making some paid services and some free services. So we just opened it up free. So I'll just put here for this community.afh.com as an example from paid to free. And those things kind of hurt, right?
Yeah. And it's interesting. I think in your example that, it kind of starts from there was kind of this hint of that it started from what does Agile for Humans want to accomplish and what do our customers want to accomplish? And I think going from a paid version first kind of started at maybe balanced a little more towards Agile for Humans. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I think the lesson that we both learned in these stories is you have to start from the customer and work your way back.
Yeah. It's true. It's cool though that we both arrived on it. And I think we were looking at measurements, right? We were looking at the current value of community to Agile for Humans through engagement. How many people were engaging, and it was low. And as soon as we opened it up, it's super high now. So I think both, and you for the same for you, is like overwhelming to try to figure out for people what to do next. And then by pivoting and going from the big to the small, you're finding a bunch of success there. So cool.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, that was Changing Goals.
Yeah. Probably our longest video. So
though, if you made it this far, you probably don't mind watching a little bit more of us.
Yeah.
No. Cool. All right. We'll see you next.
See you.
Hey, it's Ryan. If you're enjoying this show and want to take a deeper dive into Scrum with me and Todd, check out agileforhumans.com/training. Be sure to also look at the show notes to subscribe to our newsletter, get a copy of our book, Fixing Your Scrum, and learn more about working with us at Agile for Humans. Thanks for listening, and Scrum on!